Last week, we discussed Moses and Aaron and their first attempt to convince Pharaoh to free the Israelites from their slavery. That attempt failed miserably when Pharaoh insisted that the Israelites were bored and lazy because they didn't have enough work, and began forcing them to do even more hard labor. It is a new low for Israel. They had been promised deliverance, but got only more suffering. Now their hopes are crushed, their faith is gone, and it seems that the primary problem in the book of Exodus might never be solved. The tension is thick, and in the middle of this tension, Exodus suddenly shifts focus to, everyone's favorite, a genealogy. It's a little like when a radio host hooks you over the commercial break by building you up with an intent to make the big reveal right after this commercial break. So here, you have to hungrily read through the genealogy before you can get back to the more exciting part of the story. We never skip our genealogies here at East Jordan Church. Your brick-and-mortar pastor probably doesn't have time for them, and in many cases they are not the most important passages, so if something is going to get cut, it needs to be that. But these genealogies do contain small nuggets of valuable information we can draw, and they give us a fuller picture of life in the ancient world. Now, today's genealogy will repeat some information that we discussed in a genealogical message on Genesis chapter 46. That message was published on April 30th, 2017, and I won't be digging into any of the details of those verses. So, without further ado, let's get right to the passage. You can read it for yourself if you would like. It is Exodus chapter 6, verses 13 through 27. First things first. Verse 13 reminds us that the point of this genealogy is to define exactly which Moses and Aaron we're talking about. Apparently, it is important in Moses' mind, as he writes this historical account, to demonstrate his credentials as a true Hebrew, having been raised in an Egyptian background, lived as a Midianite, and having experienced very unusual circumstances at his birth. There might be some who doubt that he is authentically Hebrew, and identifying his exact lineage for readers helps give him some credibility. Now, verse 14 is a little strange in my mind in that it declares that we will be told about the heads of the Israelite families. In the verses that follow, we read only about the first three sons of Israel, Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. It seems clear to me that Moses is drawing this text directly from some other written genealogical record, and only includes the first part of it because that is the only relevant part. We have never denied here that Moses drew on external records as he created his account. It has always been our supposition, for instance, that he had a written account of Noah's flood to work from. We do maintain, however, the biblical claim that Moses was the author of this account, the documentary hypothesis being of no value. Incidentally, I found a great little article explaining the flaws in the documentary hypothesis and proving from scripture that Moses was the author of Exodus, and I've included a link to it in the library for anyone who is interested in that tangent. Now, verse 14 tells us of Reuben, the firstborn, and his sons. They are listed exactly as we saw in previous genealogical discussions, so not much to say about them here. Verse 15 lists the sons of Simeon. They are here listed exactly as they were in Genesis 46, with some variation from the list in 1 Chronicles. You can see the previous sermon for an explanation on those differences. Verse 16 tells us of the sons of Levi. These sons are the same as listed anywhere else in Scripture, so far as I know, but we'll focus in a little more here since the Levites are the main intent of the passage. For starters, Levi lived to be 137, meaning that he lived 27 years longer than his brother Joseph. Whether he lived to a later date than Joseph is not certain, but based on my reading of the timeline in Genesis, he likely did. We don't have any years when his sons were born, though we do have some ages for his sons. Without those birth dates, we're unable to calculate exactly how long it was between Moses and the time of Levi's birth, and of course, not knowing the time of Levi's birth, specifically, we are unable to attach this to any definitive date. In any case, Levi had three sons named Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. As always, please forgive my pronunciations. Now, these three sons will become somewhat prominent as we progress through the Torah because of their duties relating to the tabernacle, I'm not going to dig into those duties here because they aren't in focus yet, but it is worthwhile for you to go ahead and learn these names because you'll be seeing them later on. Gershon had two sons, Libni and Shimei. While this is otherwise consistent throughout the Bible, you will see an alternate name, Ladan, for Libni in 1 Chronicles 23. Now, 1 Chronicles 23 will have several name discrepancies when compared to other genealogies, but we should note that the passage is not strictly a genealogy concerned with listing literal children. Rather, it is concerned with the way in which King David organized the Levites for work, so this Ladan may or may not be the same person as Libni. You'll run into the same problem with the sons of Uziel and Izhar, who are the sons of Kohath. We'll get to that in a little bit, so don't let it throw you when it shows up. Now, Kohath, Levi's son and Gershon's brother, had four sons, Amram, Ishar, Hebron, and Uziel. Interestingly, Kohath's age is recorded at 133 years. Gershon and Merari, his brothers, don't have their ages recorded, perhaps because Moses didn't know those ages like he knew the age of his own grandparents, but maybe he didn't record them because those ages aren't relevant to Moses and Aaron, who are our central focus. Merari had two sons, whose names are always easy to remember for me, those being Mahlai and Mushai. For some reason, we don't get into the children of Mahlai and Mushai in this genealogy. Perhaps they weren't born yet. For these two generations under Levi, I don't believe there is ever any variance in the Bible other than what I've mentioned. They are very consistent. In verse 20, we move on to the next generation, focusing on Amram, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi. Amram, we are told, married Jochebed, his aunt, whose name is, unsurprisingly, not listed in the genealogy. Jochebed is the mother of Aaron and Moses, so we go Levi, Kohath, Amram, Moses. That's the order. Aaron married a prominent woman from the tribe of Judah. She was the sister of Nashon, son of Amminadab, a fellow whose name will show up from time to time in the book of Numbers as a leader of the tribe of Judah. So when you run into this Nashon, son of Amminadab, just remember that he is Aaron's brother-in-law. You see there, you would have never known that from reading the book of Numbers. You learn some neat things when you study your genealogies. Now Aaron will have a son named Eleazar, among others. Eleazar will have a son named Phinehas. Both of them will have some fame later on, so look out for them. Eleazar's wife will be a daughter of Putiel, and to my knowledge, there is nothing else recorded about him in Scripture. Izhar, whom you will remember as a son of Kohath, brother of Amram, the uncle of Moses, had three sons, Korah, Nepheg, and Zikri. This Korah, Moses' cousin, will ultimately become notorious, while his brothers will not be noteworthy. Korah's sons were Asir, Elkanah, and Ebiasaph. Incidentally, comparing this to 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 22 through 24, shows that these sons might be successive sons in different generations, such that Korah is the great-grandfather, Asir is the grandfather, Elkanah is the father, and Ebiasaph is the son. That verse also gives the alternate name Amminadab for Korah's father Izhar, but he isn't to be confused with Amminadab, Aaron's father-in-law. Up next is Uziel, who had three sons, Mishael, Elzaphan, and Sithri. And there is, to my knowledge, nothing interesting to report about them. And finally, verses 26 and 27 provide us with a concluding remark, reminding us of why we're reading this. We need to make sure we know exactly which Moses and Aaron it was who were sent to speak to Pharaoh. Those being the sons of Amram, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, the son of Jacob. So, for anyone who wasn't painstakingly clear on who we're talking about here, now you know. For those of you who might have come hoping to listen to a rousing story about how the Hebrews rose from their first defeat and ultimately escaped the clutches of Egypt, I'm sorry to disappoint. You'll just have to spend another week waiting to get back to that story. For the rest of you who, like me, love finding interesting Bible trivia buried in genealogies, you're welcome. And next week, we get back to the narrative. For those of you who are listening to this message away from your computer and are looking for more like it, you can find us at eastjordan.church.